It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer as we transition from our visit from the mayor to other luminaries who are now with us in Studio A. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and there's no doubting that Pittsburghers take pride in their city, but has all the recent praise that's come our way swelled our heads and led us into a state of blissful ignorance regarding issues that need to be addressed, issues such as race, transportation, poverty? Let's discuss. I'm joined now in Studio A by Pittsburgh City Paper editor Chris Potter. Welcome back, Potter.
It's good to be here, man.
See what I did there? Welcome back, Potter.
You know, you're the first person ever.
I'm sure I am. Also with us is Joe Woese, executive director of the Toonzeum, who sadly is leaving that post. We'll get maybe into that a little more later. Hello, Joe.
Always good to be back.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh, hashtag EPLive. What issues do you feel are being ignored in Pittsburgh because everyone keeps telling us how great we are? 412-246-2002 is the number to call, and we'll be happy to read from your tweets and emails. Chris, let's begin with you. Your recent column in the city paper took issue with the multiple lists that have Pittsburgh among the world's most livable cities. Are you saying that that's not true?
I mean, what I'm saying is a lot of this stuff, a lot of these livability indexes are, of course, entirely subjective. Some of them are sort of cobbled together really as a way to do marketing for the organization sponsoring them, right? So Match.com has, you know, what are the best cities for singles to be in? And, you know, I don't know which the best cities are to be single is in. I'm married myself, but I can tell you I now know who Match.com is. And so a lot of this stuff, and the one that I kind of took issue with mostly, which was it came out a few weeks ago from the Economist Intelligence Unit, which is sort of a research think tank affiliated with the very good British magazine, which basically said that not only was Pittsburgh the most livable city in the continental United States, but that its infrastructure and education system were ideal. They scored 100 out of a 100-point scale. And I don't think anybody who actually lives here, drives here as kids in the school system, even if they really like the city, even if they really like the teachers their kid has, I don't think anybody thinks that it's ideal here. And when you really kind of corkscrew down to the numbers, what you kind of find is that the whole sort of methodology is a little bit suspect. Essentially, we turned out to have acceptable levels in a bunch of different categories, and because we are 100% acceptable, that somehow turns us into being an ideal city. So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's just kind of like, you know, it's great, it's good for us, but come on, really? And the fact that everyone sort of swallows this, you know, that the infrastructure is ideal, that, and that claim was reported in a variety of different news outlets without anybody questioning, I think it's just sort of a sort of a head scratcher.
Well, it sounds like now that you explain the methodology, and it's funny because I don't think a lot of us really have looked into it in the way that you have. We're just sort of – it doesn't really matter how they arrived at it. We're just happy to accept the praise. But it's almost like the MVP ballots where you can maybe not be number one on anybody's ballot.
Right.
But if you get points for being voted first, second, or third, and if you get enough third-place votes – if there's a consensus of them,
right,
you win almost seemingly by default.
Yeah, I think the way to describe those results is it's not that Pittsburgh is ideal. It's that Pittsburgh is thoroughly acceptable. I mean, we, as I said in the column, we're essentially like the kind of boyfriend you want to bring home to dad. You know what I mean? He's maybe doesn't necessarily excel in any particular way, but he's thoroughly acceptable in all of these different ways, and you don't have to worry about your dad showing up with a shotgun on the porch.
That's an interesting way of putting it. Joe Woese, what problems do you see or maybe have with the list, these Pittsburgh being most livable lists that Chris has?
You know, every time some guy named Bob who has 6 followers on his blog says, Pittsburgh's a great city, it ends up all over the media. It's, you know, some of these are like, you know, winning prom queen at a welding school. I mean, these aren't like – you know, a big deal. We just sort of make such a big deal about it. We've been a city with such low self-esteem for so long that now we've swung completely the other way. You know, I was recently out in California and someone said, where are you from? And I said, Pittsburgh. And they go, Pittsburgh? And then I start in on my usual speech of Pittsburgh, great city because of this and the art and everything else. And then they looked at me and said, what is it with you Pittsburghers? You're so full of yourselves. And I said, oh, my God, that's what we've become. We've become the thing we resented in other cities. We're so worried about being the next Portland, the next, you know, whatever it is. We're always worried about being the next something. And we've lost being the first Pittsburgh. And, you know, we've got to address these issues. We can't just keep ignoring them every time we get an accolade saying, hey, you've got another trophy to put up on the wall and just not look out our own windows. We're so busy looking at the shelf with all those trophies. And, you know, first and foremost, I mean, race is a big problem in this city. We have the highest poverty rate among working age African Americans in the country. We have the highest poverty rate of African Americans under the age of five. That's a real problem that we need to address. It's the most livable city. I love this city, but it's the most livable city for who? For me, as a white male, yes, it's a great city. But what about everybody else?
Interesting points. By the way, the prom queen and the welding school, would that be Jennifer Beals?
Hey,
yes, right. Probably.
I was going to say, I have dated a hot welder once, okay. So I just want to get that out there on the record.
My brother-in-law's a welder, too. So.
All right, I'm just going to steer clear of that. 412-246-2002, if you want to join the conversation with Chris Potter and Joe Woese. And let's go to Tanya in Pittsburgh. Tanya, as we discuss the issues of perhaps being ignored in Pittsburgh because everyone keeps telling us how great we are. Tanya, what are your thoughts on this?
I am an African-American woman, and I work for, lucky enough to work for a family member, but there's literally no jobs here for our young black males. I've got kids. My kids left the state for an education, for a job opportunity. There's nothing here for our kids. Livable for the people who come from other countries. Yeah, livable for somebody who has is going to UPMC to work from another state. Yeah, livable for them. And you make it real pretty and shiny for them. But it's not pretty and shiny for us, those of us that have been here 40 years, 30 years, 50, 60, 70 years. You tore down. My mother told me, well, my parents, actually, my father's from Alabama, so he didn't know too much. But my mother told me that the Civic Arena was torn down and so many people were displaced. And then you turn around.
When the Civic Arena was put up.
And then you turn around and tear down the Civic Arena, and that's a slap in the face. Those people are still living who were displaced so many years ago, 50 years ago. That's terrible. Do you know how they feel? So a livable city? For whom? Who is it livable for? The next white person that's coming here to live, or the Arab person, or the Asian? Certainly, certainly. There are no black people beating down Pittsburgh's door to get here. I can guarantee you that. I can guarantee you that. Very few. And if they are, they're extremely educated, and there's a job waiting here for them.
Tanya.
They're not coming here. Oh, yeah, I'm coming to live in Pittsburgh. No.
Tanya, all good points. Chris Potter, you're nodding in agreement with what Tanya is saying.
Yeah, I certainly recognize. I mean, I have heard that very sentiment expressed a lot from very often from African American residents of the city, which is most livable for whom? And I think that's sort of the unfortunate side of this stuff. Everybody love I love Pittsburgh too. But it is unfortunate to kind of see people struggling with that and this sort of thing that on the one hand, this perception of the city that's out there, it's new, it's reinvented itself, doesn't mesh with my reality. And I think that has a really alienating effect on people in a weird sort of way, maybe even more than it did, before 30 or 40 years ago when everyone sort of felt like they were in the same boat in this town.
If there weren't all of these best of lists, most livable lists that Pittsburgh has found its way on, and it's been almost three decades now. Yeah. The first one was it the one that Rand McNally did in 1986?
Yeah.
So, here it is now 2014, and we're still talking about it. If we had not ended up on one of these lists or on the list back in 1986, would things be different? Would we be looking at ourselves with a more more critical eye?
I think, you know, I think you'd be hard pressed to find somebody who thinks that Pittsburgh lacks for self-criticism, right? I mean, I grew up and there was this sort of sense of Pittsburgh as this place with not a lot of self-esteem. I think
right.
I think what's happened is what was great about that 1986 thing was that was 1986. I mean, Dorothy Six had fallen. Everything was going, you know, to hell in a handbasket. And this thing came along and said in a way that people really here needed to hear, look, you've got a lot of things going for you. And I think there's something really powerful and probably pretty good about that. I think now circumstances have obviously changed. It's a much different picture for the city itself and how we fare vis-a-vis other cities who were hurt, you know, more by the recession. And I think we're in a different position now. And I think these things are fine as long as nobody really takes them seriously. I think the problem gets to be when we feel like, oh, this proves we can kind of sit on our laurels or ease up, or as Joe or your caller said, you know, kind of turn away from some of these issues that really are pressing. And I would just like to say for the record, I mean, I think Mayor Peduto, who's just here, is cognizant of that problem. I mean, one of the things that's been in the news lately is an effort to revitalize the Hill District and to address that with some with a fairly sizable contingent of affordable housing and some of these other things. So will that work? I mean, obviously we're just at the start of that process. We don't know, but I think at least in some quarters, you know, there's a sense of like, yeah, we got to take care of this stuff. We got to take care of Homewood, which has also been another focus for the mayor. So that's a positive thing, but I do sometimes worry that we were down so long,
mm-hmm.
and now we almost don't want to hear anything. Sort of publicly. And there's a cottage industry of blogs and stuff like that who are just all about, you know, hey, we made this list, or hey, here's the 10 Pittsburgh things you want to do before you die or whatever. Whereas if I go to other cities, what I see is a lot more blogs that are really taking a skeptical look at their city and its governance. And you just don't see that same kind of vitality here.
Joe Wost, has the praise of Pittsburgh prevented us from some level of honest introspection?
Yeah, I think what it's done is it's created a lot of distractions. One of the things about these very negative issues that need addressed, the minute you make an effort to address them, it means you're acknowledging them. The minute you say we're going to address the race problem says we have a race problem. It's not like, hey, we're going to make the city better. We're going to put in some trees and bikes, you know, really happy stuff that says these are things we're doing to improve the city. You have to acknowledge some pretty, pretty hefty problems before you can move forward. And in moving forward, you have to recognize them. And so it's this catch-22 of the minute you say Pittsburgh has a race problem, we're going to address it, that's what ends up as the headlines. Pittsburgh has a race problem. So I think that's it. We're sort of enamored with these diversions, you know, these little things we do, you know, holding press conferences for bike racks and, you know, every time we make a list, making a big deal out of it. It's like, let's stop, let's pull back, and let's really think about what needs addressed. What are we ignoring at the expense because we're doing all these other things that are low-hanging fruit, so it makes it easy, and also nice and flashy because it's, you know, got a lot of buzzwords in them. But what are we neglecting? I think there's a lot we're neglecting in this city. There's some real opportunities, but we have to acknowledge we have some problems.
And we'll talk about how some of the problems are starting to be acknowledged and sort of the more honest approach that led by our new mayor that some people are willing to take. We're talking with Joe Wose, who is the executive director of the Toonzeum, and Chris Potter, city paper editor, about addressing problems and issues in Pittsburgh that might have been ignored with all of the hoopla over the best of lists and most livable city list that Pittsburgh has found its way onto. It's Essential Pittsburgh. We'll continue the conversation after the break on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about issues that people in Pittsburgh and that the city might have ignored or is continuing to ignore based on all of the excitement and bliss over the best of lists that Pittsburgh has been finding its way onto. Has it happened at the expense of dealing honestly with some of our issues in the city? You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our guests, Chris Potter, city paper editor, and Joe Wost, Executive Director of the Toonzeum. Our email, essspgh@wesa.fm, and on Twitter at essspgh, hashtag EPLive. What issues do you feel are being ignored in Pittsburgh because everyone is telling us how great we are? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. And the one thing that strikes me is that it seems, and I want to get Joe and Chris your feedback on this, it seems, and the mayor was just here, that the city is, with a new administration and a new police chief coming in, that the city is saying, okay, now is the time. We cannot put off dealing with some of the issues of mistrust of the police, of tension in race relations in the city, that can no longer be put off and must be dealt with honestly. Do you get that sense, Joe? Well, let's start with you.
I do. I really think that Mayor Peduto is the right person at the right time. But he does have his work cut out for him. He's really going to have to look hard at these issues that we've been ignoring. You know, a lot of these issues we've sort of swept under the rug and pretend don't exist. So I think he's the right person. I know he's the right person to do this. He is really connected to the people. I follow his Twitter feed, and you know, I know he reads everybody else's. So he's very connected. So he is seeing the issues that are out there, and he's out in the community, which is the first part of this, is a real open dialogue. And I think he is definitely someone who knows how to communicate and how to listen. So I think that's an important first step.
Chris Potter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it'll all depend on the execution. I mean, the fact is that the police department in the city of Pittsburgh has been a sort of bone of contention for mayors going back at least to David Lawrence and probably before then. So really good people have come into office and banged their head against that particular
wall. I guess I didn't realize that the problems went that far
back.
Oh,
yeah, even farther. I think there was a period where Pittsburgh actually had two rival police forces in the day of Joe Barker, and it was just one ran for the mayor and the other to city council. It was complete bedlam.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, this has been sort of an ongoing issue. And, you know, if Bill Peduto tries and fails, he would not be the first mayor to go into it. Yeah, to pick up on something that Joe said a minute ago, I do think some of the bike lanes or whatever, you know, I do think that probably is low-hanging fruit. It's certainly easier to get bike lanes installed than it is to solve the transit system, which is a county agency which relies on state funding. There's only so much a mayor can do. And there are times when I worry that, you know, back in the 90s, the idea of the successful city was urban fun zone, right? So you build your stadiums, you have stuff downtown. There was an abortive effort to build a giant open-air mall downtown. And you spend a lot of energy on that. We're now in this new thing where how we define cities as cool is different, right? It's bike paths and things like that. And I think there is a legitimate concern sort of about worrying too much about that stuff. I will say I had this conversation a few months ago with the mayor's office about some of their fitness. They have this whole fitness agenda. And I was talking to one of his staffers, Betty Cruz, who kind of handles some of these initiatives. And we were talking about, you know, they had this holistic idea of wellness for the city. And it was so expansive and comprehensive that I couldn't figure out what she was talking about, you know, because it included crime and things like that. And at one point I said to her, I just don't get what policing has to do with physical fitness. And she said, well, you know, if people in Homewood or in these crime-ridden neighborhoods don't feel safe going out and walking after dinner or taking a bike downtown, then all we're talking about is just something for affluent people to do. And I think that to me struck home, because here was somebody who this is bike lanes, right? This is the very thing that everybody sort of dismisses as frou-frou or whatever. But there are people in the administration who are really trying to think about that in a way that ties into that stuff, so it doesn't become, I think, what Joe and probably some other people fear, which is that it does just sort of become this rarefied thing only for the sort of for the elite, you know, upper middle class and above. So it's a hopeful sign.
412-246-2002, the number to call to join the conversation with Joe Wose and Chris Potter. We have Warner in Fox Chapel. Warner, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello, can you
yes.
hear me?
Yes, we can. Welcome, and you're on the air.
Oh, thank you for having me on. First of all, I would like to say I agree with probably 99% of what your panelists had to say today. And as a longtime Pittsburgher with long native roots, a person that's very well educated, I might say that my wife and I, we are very conflicted about Pittsburgh. Yes, it is a livable city, and I'm one of those ones that go around here, you know, and happy when we make lists and receive all the accolades. However, you got to say for whom, and that's a running joke within the African American community, because every time when those lists comes out, everyone looks at each other, and I'm African American, and says, but for whom? I mean, you can go not only look at the statistics that one of your panelists just mentioned, which is horrific in and of itself, but you can also just go downtown and look at the business power structure. I mean, and there's a lot of good people, and I'm not pointing fingers, but there's a lot of good people around trying to make changes, but you can still go to private and public companies where there's not one African-American in senior executive ranks. Yeah. I mean, and so, and you get, so you feel disenfranchised from there, then the educational system, and it goes on and on and on. But people need to acknowledge that we all need to come together to make the city a better place. But the problem is we still have folks of a certain generation and part of the old power structure that think that you're pointing fingers at them, and they hunker down and get mad and, oh, you're saying now Pittsburgh's bad and you're a rebel rouser and you're not trying to move forward. But, again, one of your panelists said we all have to admit when you recognize something to then tackle it.
It's and a good, it's a good point.
Hopefully we're moving in that direction, and I have faith in Pittsburgh. We have kids, and we decided to stay, although we have opportunities to move from Pittsburgh, unlike many others, at a moment's notice. But we are deciding to stay because somebody has to stay here. And,
well, Warner, let me jump in because I appreciate your comments, and we're limited in our time. So one of the things that you mentioned there that I wanted our panelists to pick up on is sort of the – he's talking about some of the older – generation of Pittsburghers, not all of whom, but some of whom tend to be the ones who might be more inclined to resist change. Is it simply, you know, waiting that out? Is it that when as that generation goes away, is that going to expedite the change?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of this has to – I mean, I think some of that just has to do it. It takes time for cultures to change that way. I mean, to pick up another example, we're on the point now of not having any female office holders representing Allegheny County in Harrisburg next year. I mean, that's just where we're at. And it's partly because although a new mayor comes in, there's new leadership at the county level, it takes time for that stuff to work its way through the kind of whole economic and political infrastructure, for lack of a better word.
You know, I think some of it this, at this point is institutionalized. It's the way things are. If you look at, you know, the downtown art scene, there's nothing organic about it. It's sort of this old way of doing things. It's the same white men running, you know, the art scene in Pittsburgh, and it's, you know, the symphony and the, you know, these galleries that all sort of do this same stuff. And again, who is that for? It's for
white guys like you and I, Joe.
It's for a very specific old white guys who come down and, you know, So I think part of it is it is becoming more and more institutionalized. It's becoming entrenched. And the only way it's going to change is we have to see some real movements to shake things up. We need to see young people in particular taking a lead on this and really trying to create some real organic movements and not relying on the pre-existing structure.
Right. A generational shift.
Yes.
Let's go to Tom on the north side. Tom, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, hi, gentlemen. I have two questions.
Okay, we're very short on time, Tom. So yeah, I don't mean to be rude, but you need to move very quickly through what you want to say.
Well, we wasted time with that. Okay, the mayor needs to take a ride on city buses. The streets are a disaster. They're dangerous. Number two, I would love to hear Mr. Potter's hypocritical answer to why he advertises prostitution in his paper in the classifieds and in the back page. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the snark.
I mean, look, I'm the editor of Pittsburgh City Paper. I am not the publisher. If you want to take issue with any of the advertisements that we have, you need to talk to him. I know that's a can-kicking football punt, but that's the answer I'm going to give you. Thanks for the call.
And before we wrap up here very quickly, we're down to just about a minute or less. Joe Walsh, you're moving on from the Toonzeum. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about your decision there.
Yeah, I'm going back to drawing cartoons, which is my first love. For so many years, 7 years, I volunteered at the Toonzeum and watched other people's artwork on the walls. It's time for me to produce some of my own again. So time to move on.
Well, we'll miss you in that spot, but we wish you well. And Chris Potter, also moving on to new things.
Yeah, moving on to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette in a couple of weeks, where I'll be doing a long-form enterprise-type reporting, and all of our advertisers will be strictly above board.
Oh, well. Well, I know Tom will appreciate that. Chris Potter, Joe Wose, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, as part of WESA's Life of Learning Initiative, a special program looking at the state of art-centered learning programs in area schools. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.